The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. From hot dogs to cool kitties, this is Dark Side of the Pooch.
Yo, welcome back to Dark Side of the Pooch. I feel like it's been, it has been a hot minute since we've done Dark Side of the Pooch. We didn't do anything on Labor Day week. I didn't hear from you. You didn't hear from me. So we just kind of took a week off, which is fine. And then it was so good to hear from you today. And you told me you had lots of news to share today for Dark Side of the Pooch. By the way, brought to you by Sasquatch Toys and Comics down there on Citation Lane in Homewood. They're blowing the doors off, man. They got comics from 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, all kinds of great toys, Legos, stuff from Battlestar Galactica and Star Wars, all kinds of great toys. Check it out. Still in the box. If you find some stuff in your attic, they buy, sell, and trade. And also Ed's Pet World, it's owned by the same dude. Go figure. He's got a toy store and a pet store. Pretty good life right there, isn't it? When I grow up, I want to own a pet store and a toy store. All right. He's batting 1,000 here.
Ed's Pet World. Did you read comics? Huh? Did you read comics?
You know what? I did not. I never got into comics. I was big into baseball cards. By the way, I saw something the other day. Was it a Wayne Gretzky 1999 rookie card? Went for like $3 million. And I'm like, wait a minute. A 1999 rookie card went for $3 million. I'm like, that's not that long ago. I'm like,
Wayne Gretzky wasn't a rookie in 1999.
Well, whatever it was a recent, it was recent. It's like 1987 or 88 or whenever he would have been a rookie. But it was someone who obviously I got a chance. It wasn't like Jackie Robinson or, you know, Ty Cobb. It wasn't one of these. It was like someone like, wow, like Barry Bonds rookie card worth $14 million. I'm like, heck, I probably have one of those.
Cards are back. And I mean, they are back. Really back. My son loves them. And listen, if Sasquatch doesn't have cards, they need to start getting some cards.
They don't have cards. And that is something that I actually spoke to Seth about. That's probably something that he said they have limited stuff, but they really don't get into the card business. They're more into the comics thing. But can I tell you something? I've actually considered getting cards myself. I told you,
they're still cool.
Yeah.
They're still cool.
No, I mean, well, look who's buying them. It's not 12-year-olds with $3 million buying cards. They're adults, no. Right? I found a pack of, is it Clear? Wing Clear? Not Tops.
Fleer with Clear.
I found 12 packs of Fleer cards from 1994 that were unopened. In a box. Yeah, I did.
I
opened them up a couple of weeks ago. I told Santo, I said, come over here and check them. I said, first of all, they're Fleers. And I recognized most of the players, but there was nothing in there famous. But it was 1994, and I thought, you know, that's 30 years ago.
I've been having such a great time with my son because I used to love going to, and the reason I ask about the comics was that growing up in a small town in Northwest Alabama, we did not have anywhere to get comics. And so I missed that comic boat.
Oh, wow.
I never had a place I could get them. But in Haleyville, believe it or not, we did have some card shops. And, I mean, I just had the best time. We would go there, you know, you're getting packs or you're buying single cards. And then, you know, back then I have a point to this. Okay.
Yeah.
But back then you would buy a Beckett and the Beckett listed all of the cards and how much they were worth.
What was a Beckett?
It was called Beckett.
It was a magazine or something.
It was a magazine.
Okay.
And it was a publication. And so you would look, and if your card was worth basically anything, it was in these Becketts. And I think they came out once a month.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a monthly publication. So if you got the Beckett, you could be sure you weren't getting ripped off.
There you go.
Do even trades.
That's awesome.
And so now, because when my son was like, hey, my kids at school are getting these cards, and I think I want to try to get into it. And I said, great, that's awesome. Let's do it. But I was like, we got to be sure we're not getting ripped off. So we got to get the Beckett. And he's like, what are you talking about? And I said, we got to get the publication. And so we went into one of these card stores and I was looking around for it. And they looked at me like I, of course, had two heads because I'm, you know, almost 42 years old.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, what you do now is you go on eBay sold And then you just search for the card and the market will tell you.
And you got to get, you got to do sold because
you got to go to eBay sold.
Yeah. Cause people ask for crazy prices. It doesn't mean they're getting it. Yeah.
And it's so cool because we'll open these packs and there's variations on these cards. So this was my first lesson on eBay sold. Okay. So we're looking through these cards that my son had traded at school and there was a Ronald Acuna Jr. That, you know, he played, well, he's hurt now. He plays right field for the Braves.
Yeah.
And it was a really unique card. It said Fearless at the top and it had all these like cool colors. It wasn't just a regular guy swinging a bat.
Yeah.
And so I looked it up on eBay sold and it's $1,500. And I said, really? Dude, you traded for this card? He said, yeah, my buddy traded it. Like I said, what did you give him? And he said, oh, I gave him this card, whatever. And so I'm texting my friends who are my age.
Wow.
And so I'm texting my friends and they're like, wait a minute, look at the card very closely. So I look it up again and there's a purple variant that you have to look at very closely because only like six of the lines are purple. And he had the silver variant. So then I re-looked it up. It's worth like $3.
But isn't that amazing?
It's crazy that they have all these variants now, but it's cool, man. I'm sorry to get off on that tangent.
No, I love it, man. I used to collect baseball cards. My son did for a period of time, and I didn't want to push him. But I mean, I remember at the shoebox, and I would sit there and go through my baseball cards and just count them, and I would write down each team and how many cards I had for each team, and I knew in a set there were 625. This is 1975, 76. During the Big Red days. And I knew there were 625 cards to the set. Little did I know that you could actually go buy the entire set. Yeah. I didn't realize that. I thought, why would someone want to do that? Why would someone go buy an entire set?
What's the fun in that?
Yeah. And so one year I had every card. I think it was 1975. It was either 1974 or 1975. I could see my thing, except for one baseball card. It was from the Cincinnati Reds. His name was Mike Lum. And Mike Lum was a utility player who got called up like halfway through the year, came back down. And of course, we didn't have the internet and stuff. There was nowhere even to look if there was a Mike Lum card. And so I went up to this place up the street. Like you said, there used to be card shops all over the place. And I went in there and I said, I'm looking for a Mike Lum card. And he's like, you're the only kid in the world ever looking for a Mike Lum card.
Is he your uncle?
And he said, I've got a Mike Lum card. And it was purple. I'll never forget. I could see it's purple and brown, which was a really strange color for a Topps card. And I didn't buy it because I didn't get it the right way. I was like, no, I'm not going to buy it because I bought every card I've got. And that's the beauty in getting the cards. But I don't remember if you remember, they used to come in, cards were came in baseball packs with a piece of gum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they have gum in them anymore.
No, they don't.
The gum was really super hard, crunchy. And yeah, it was terrible. And I remember baseball season always coincided with Lent. And I always give up chewing gum and stuff for Lent. And so I'd get my baseball cards. And by the time Lent was over, I'd have a stack of bubble gum because I couldn't eat my bubble gum. This is bringing back some great memories for me. What was I talking about? My mom would take me shopping once in a while to get a JCPenney's or whatever. And they had a little toy section and they had cards in a cellophane clear bag. It was about this long and there were three cards on the top. And it came in a pack and you bought a pack of three stacks, I guess. There was maybe 50 cards in one of these packs. And, you know, cards were a dime or whatever. So it ended up being like, I don't know, $1.39 or something for one of these things. And so you could look at the front and see who you're getting. And you could look at the back and see who you're getting. And I would sit down there at JCPenney's and I would go through 100 boxes of those clear. I was so cracked up, man. I'm serious. I was like on crack. It was so, I'd sit there and I go to the manager. I go, do you have any more boxes in the back that you're not? And he's like, as long as you don't open them, you can go through them if you want. And I would sit there for hours going through. And of course I would find 20 or 30 packs that I either needed the players or they were really good cards. And my mom would go, you can get two cards, you know, but I remember doing that all the time. And yeah, I went through the thing where a buddy of mine, he was my program director, got big time into card collecting, like in his 30s. He did it as an investment. And he went through all my baseball cards and made me an offer on stuff. And he, a lot of them, he's like, listen, I don't need them. I got doubles. So I'm just going to give these back to you. And some of them are worth some money. Some will let you have these back. And so I've got maybe about 100, 150 of them. And you know, most of them are, you know, pretty good cards, but I haven't looked to see what they're worth recently.
That's so cool. So, go to eBay sold. And some of these stores, they'll have like these mystery boxes.
Yeah.
That they know what's in them. I mean, you know, they have like mined these cards that, you know, they come in and they're ripping packs and stuff, but they'll put like good finds in there.
Yeah.
So these mystery boxes will have 8 or 10 cards in there. You can buy the mystery box for like $30. And so my son's done that a couple of times and we've taken the cards out and looked them up on eBay sold. And you pay $30 for this mystery box and you wind up with a couple hundred dollars worth of cards. Now, of course, we're not trying to flip them.
Yeah.
You know, we're not trying to make money off of it. We're just having a good time together. And you know, the cards are just so cool these days. So it's pretty cool.
I have not seen a card since my son got into football cards, which I had never done. I did baseball. He got hockey cards. Yeah, we got into it for a little bit, and I kind of wish he had gotten into it as much as I did, but I can't tell you how much money I spent. And then I end up collecting these other cards. It was some type of a Mad Magazine card collection.
Oh my gosh! You know what I used to? You remember Garbage Pail Kids?
Yeah. You used to collect those. This wasn't Garbage Pail. This was something along the same lines, but it was gross humor, if you will.
Yeah.
And I used to have that stack of cards, and they were stickers. So there was the front of the card was the sticker, and the back of the card, you took the sticker off, and then the same image was underneath. So you still had the card, and it was stickers. And I had a pack of maybe, you know, 120, 130 of these things, and I couldn't find them. And I looked everywhere for these cards, and I was like, 8, 9, 10 years old. And then like when I was 14 or 15, my mom was going through a box of clothes and she found my jacket. I had a jacket that I had had for like 15 years, and that stack of cards was in that jacket. I could not believe it. It was like, and I was like, whoa, it was like, and they were all in mint condition because I hadn't touched them in 15 years. It's great, man. I wish kids got, you know, like all things, you know, adults ruin everything for kids. And we did when, you know, we started buying cards and stuff, but you make me almost want to go back out and start collecting cards again, because it is, I was so damn smart. I knew every Major League Baseball player because I was going through their cards. I knew their averages. I knew there was always a little tidbit about each player in the corner. Noah had some weird little dog head and said, so-and-so loves to eat Taco Bell on Tuesdays or whatever. Like, like what the, but there'd be a little tidbit about each player, and it also have their farm league stats.
Yeah.
And I learned so much about the game, and now there are so many things about baseball, about, you know, velocity, exit speeds, and all this other crap that they get into. I couldn't even tell you, but I will tell Seth, and I will tell him that we talked about it for about 15 minutes to start the show.
Because it's fun, man. But I've always been like, last thing I'll say about it, I've always been one that wants to get the packs and open them up and roll the dice. You may get out, you know, you may get nothing, you know, you're going to spend $5 on a pack. You might find something awesome. I've never been one to be like, there's a Tua rookie card. I'm going to buy that for $30 or whatever. It's like, where's the fun in that, man?
No, you're right. It had nothing to do with the money. It was about trying to collect, and you traded because you didn't have the player, not because you wanted the player. I mean, like I said, I spent an entire summer trying to find Mike Lum. And by the way, I got Mike Lum. I've got that card, and it just so happens that they make some cards a lot more than they make other cards. You know, I had like, like 57 George Fosters, you know, and it was an all-star card. It was I could see it in my mind. George Foster had a long sideburns, and he had 52 bombs in 1982. And I remember
a lot of home runs.
Yeah. I remember seeing it back then. It was big time. And I remember seeing all those George Foster's, and I'm like, I was willing to trade, and I would call my buddies. I go, do you have Mike Lum? You pick up the dial phone, you know, and do you have Mike Lum? I'm looking for Mike Lum. And I was like, who the hell's Mike Lum? I'm like a utility guy for the Cincinnati Reds. And I finally, and the Reds, of course, are my team. So, but I end up getting Mike Lum. And by then, you know, my cards were dismantled. And, but no, it was, man, you've taken me back a beautiful road. Thank you. That was a lot of time, and it makes me, but now I don't know. First of all, I don't know what they cost. What does a pack of cards cost? You know?
It depends, because they have like different levels now. Mm-hmm. And like if you get the newer year, it's a little more expensive, but you know, it's $5 to $8 for just regular pack of cards.
Yeah.
But you get a lot fewer now. That's the rub. You know, you may get a pack that only has 6 cards in it.
Yeah.
Whereas back in the day, I feel like they had like 12 or 15 cards.
If you put in there, what do baseball cards cost today? Everything is all these 30 most valuable baseball cards, how to determine their worth. I mean, all price guides. I mean, just tell me how much, $2,024 Topps baseball cards, $6.95 at Walmart. You know, the crazy thing about it though, too, is I would cut grass. My dad would give me 35 cents a week for my allowance. I don't know why I remember that. 35 cents a week for my allowance. And you spent your allowance on your baseball cards or your slushies. We used to walk up to the store. There was a pharmacy called the Mulberg's Pharmacy. And they had ice cream, soft serve ice cream cones. They had vanilla on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and chocolate on Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays. They were closed on Sundays. And I'd go up there because I love chocolate ice cream. So I'd go up there on the off days and we get a couple of baseball cards until, of course, I got the crack thing, which was like, for you drug dealers out there, it was like getting a half bag, and all of a sudden, you know, you're buying an ounce at a time. It was like, holy crap, what have I got myself into? You got an ounce of Coke sitting on the kitchen table, you know? So I'd have all these baseball cards, man, and I would go really slow because I wanted to enjoy the whole and the smell. I can remember the smell of them.
Yeah.
The smell was so good. They had no gum in them. But I think now they'll send you like parts of their uniforms.
Some of these cards are incredible. Like my son's got some that's game worn. One of my favorite cards that he has, he got this out of one of these mystery boxes. It is a Chipper Jones, and an Austin Riley card. So they're both on it. And, it's a game used piece of Chipper Jones jersey. It's tiny.
Yeah.
And a tiny sliver of Austin Riley's bat. On the card. Now the card's thick, you know, it's not like, you know, they used to be like an index card thick. Okay. Well, this card that I'm talking about is probably 3 or 4 millimeters thick. So, I mean, you know, they're like,
yeah,
like that. But yeah, I mean, they have game used like slivers of jerseys and stuff.
And I mean, there's no reason for them to cheat you out of it, but you have no clue. You know what I mean? You never find out. Did you ever get an off-printed card? I didn't realize. I always thought an off-printed card like money would be worth something because it's off-printed, right? In other words, the face is off the center or something like that. But in the card world, that's a bad thing unless it's right up. And so much so that people
cut the corners. So, but some of them can be worth more.
Yeah.
Some of them, I think it depends on how the cut is, but sometimes if there's only like 2 of those in the whole world or something,
there's baseball cutting machines that obviously you will ruin the cost of your machine because they do look exactly at the size of the card. It could be a millisecond or a millimeter, but where you can cut the corners so you can make the corners nice and sharp so you can get more nines and tens and stuff. By the way, since you're bringing this up, do you know what was in every single Olympic medal this year in Paris?
Oh gosh. Dirty water.
A piece of the Eiffel Tower.
What?
Yeah. They put a small piece of the Eiffel Tower in every single medal this year. So you own
a piece.
They
chisel it off. It's going to fall down.
I don't know how they did it, but I mean, obviously it was, you know, but out of the thousands of medals they did, there was a small little piece and you could actually see it. It's a different color and it's on the thing. So you have a piece of the Eiffel Tower if you won one of your medals. So it's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Well, great stuff. We'll go down and see Seth. He does wonderful work. He's killing it down there. And of course the toy store is open, I think 6 or 7 days a week. And Ed's Pet World is open Wednesday through Sunday now. So they're closed on Mondays and Tuesdays. First of all, how are you doing? It was funny. We were talking. I just saw something. The Guinness Book of World Records. This happened yesterday. An American short hair cat in China just broke the record for the fastest skateboarding cat. I didn't even realize there was a record for this. The cat went 32 meters, which is 32.8 feet, in 12.85 seconds.
Okay.
So 30 feet in 12 seconds. I was trying to figure out how many miles per hour that is. I don't know. So many seconds go into a minute, and how many minutes go into a mile?
It's not very far. Yeah, it's not very far, and it's not very fast.
No, it's not. Which I'm thinking to myself, golly, that sounds like a pretty easy record, because I mean, I could put a cat on all you got to do is get it used to being on a board and push it, right? But I guess I don't know if the cat had to do it on its own.
I would bet that it's harder to keep a cat on a skateboard than we think it is. I would bet that getting a cat to stand on a skateboard for longer than about 2 seconds would be pretty difficult. And then to be able to push that skateboard and the cat stay on it.
Yeah.
It's probably, pretty impressive.
By the way, you got me flipping out here. Topps Baseball Factory Set. This is the 2024 Topps Major League Baseball Trading Complete Set.
Probably $500-$600.
$60. $59.99 for the complete set in stock online at Target right now. They're all $59.99.
So
it contains all 700 2024 Topps baseball cards in it. That's a hell of a deal. 700 baseball cards.
Well, see, but there must be something to that, because some of these boxes, some of these complete sets, I guess they just vary, but they'll be in the hundreds of dollars. I guess it just depends on what kind of cards are in there. But I'll tell you, you keep reminding me of stuff. So my son pulled a card from a pack, and it was a Pete Alonso card.
Yeah.
And it was, plays first base for the Mets, hits a lot of home runs. Mm-hmm. And it was a specific card where it had, you went online, had a number on it, and you went online and you picked a game that you thought Pete Alonso would hit a home run.
Oh, wow.
And if you were correct, then you got one of the, you got a special card.
Yeah.
All right. Topps would send you a special card. If you decided to double down on the date that Pete Alonso was going to hit a home run and say he hit it over 425,
jeez,
then you got a like super duper special card.
Now, what did you get if you didn't get it right? You lose your card?
No, you don't. You just don't get anything. Yeah, you still keep the card. Gotcha. You just don't get anything. And then didn't get anything, like you get the card and you pick the date and you don't get it right or anything, if you just go online and try to pick a date, they enter you into a chance to win a trip to the Home Run Derby this past year in Dallas.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool, like, interactive.
That is super cool.
Card.
Yeah. The cool thing about cards too. So the last time I bought a card, I was probably 13, 14, maybe 14. I think high school is when I grew up. I think when the cards weren't cool anymore. And I discovered girls. But back then,
those are still cool, by the way.
Yeah, they are still cool. I think I bought maybe like the cellophane packs. I think I maybe bought like 8 or 9 of those at one time. And I mean, I'm not kidding you now. I'm not kidding you. It was like finding treasure. I held onto that bag with two hands, and I got home and I locked my bedroom door and I got down on the floor and I turned the radio off. And I mean, I was like Ralphie in the Christmas Vacation, what was the code ring he had?
It was Ovaltine.
Ovaltine, man. I sat there and went through those cards, man, so meticulously, and I had to place all my cards out, and I skipped dinner that night. And oh yeah. But I mean, now, we were working, right? We're making, hopefully six figures. And I mean, it makes me wonder, if I went and picked up baseball cards again, how many would I buy, or how many should I buy? Because I mean,
I
wouldn't buy the whole set for $60, although that's a lot cheaper than I thought it'd be. 700 cards for $60.
Yeah.
So there's 700 cards. I may go out right after the show and go buy some baseball cards just to kind of get my feet wet again. And maybe I get my boy involved in it. But now it's been so long, I don't even know what kind of cards they have. Do they have college cards?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They've got college cards. But the old brands, like the new brand is, I think I'm pronouncing it right, it's called Panini. That's a real popular brand. P-A-N-I-N-I.
There was Donruss. Remember Donruss?
Yeah. Donruss is no more. Fleer is no more. Topps is still around. Topps has different varieties, like Topps Chrome and stuff like that. It's a lot of fun. And it's so much so that I went to a baseball game and I bought like a small box. I think it had like 12 packs in it or something. And I was going to give them, you know, give it to my son. Hey, you can make a good grade in school. Here's a pack.
That's nice.
You know, do something nice for your sister. Here's a pack, whatever.
Nice.
But I took like three out for myself because I just wanted to go ahead and open them. If we would have gotten anything good, of course I would have given it to him, but I just, it's weird, man. It's just, it's like, it's almost like an addiction. You just want to,
that's great.
Those packs,
that's
good. Check it out.
In case you're wondering, this is Dark Side of the Pooch. This is a veterinarian show, believe it or not. Ross Bridge Animal Hospital's Dr. Rab Stewart joins on the line. Of course, he knows what he's doing when it comes to pets. 208-0301 is their phone number. Ross Bridge Vet at Ross Bridge Vet on the social media and Facebook, and of course online as well. They have a beautiful store out there, the Rossbridge Animal Hospital out there. And certainly I've had a very precarious and strange last few months with some of my animals and still got Rainer Dog, and he's doing fantastic. But thank goodness I have a person like Dr. Rab in my life who walked me through the loss of a pet earlier this year. And your questions, we love to read your emails, info@tonycurryradio.net, info@tonycurryradio.net. We got some emails we'll get into here in just a few minutes. But by the way, I wanted to mention, we have added three more shows to the Tony Curry Rating Podcast Network. We have a new show called Home Field Advantage, which is a show about the mortgage business with Exit Realties, Teresa Autry, which you're doing. We're also doing a show called 4K Wins, which is a new handicapping show, which kind of goes along with baseball and stuff. And we'll be handicapping the World Series and stuff. We have a gentleman from the Las Vegas Sun, Case Kiefer, who joins us. Is four of us, and that's another show. So check out wherever you get your favorite podcast. You can find Dark Side of the Pooch. You can see a picture of Lizzie, which is my ex-wife's dog on the front of that. It's a great show, and we've been doing this show for golly a couple of years. What's been going on in the world of Rossbridge Animal Hospital? I feel like I haven't talked to you in a while. School started again. Things starting to cool off a little bit. I will get into it right now. And a lot of people, I got three emails about it. When is flea season? When is flea season? I think a lot of people think that flea season and flu season coincide together because it's usually, it seems like when things start to cool off, I always think of flea season as when it starts to fall time, because I think the bugs want to get inside the house because it starts getting colder. We start seeing more spiders and more things, creepy crawly things. I know you're going to sit there and tell me that flea season is year round, but are there particular times of the year where they're worse than other times?
I mean, they're actually worse in the summer, but, I mean, it is here. It doesn't get cold enough to kill off the population of fleas and ticks. So we see animals that come in that have fleas on them 12 months out of the year. But fleas like hot weather the most. So that's when pets and people are going to be at higher risk. There seems to be an influenza outbreak that happened
for dogs or for humans or both.
For dogs. Yep. Yeah. For dogs that started about a month ago. We really haven't seen many cases of it. We've maybe seen, we haven't had any confirmed flu cases, but we've had some, probably a small uptick in respiratory cases. But no confirmed flus. Like, I think maybe 2.5 years ago, we had a tremendous flu outbreak. We saw many, many cases, but there appears to be some type of upper respiratory deal going around right now.
So with it cooling off, flea season's year round. Of course, the other question is, and I've had fleas several times, and it is a major pain in the butt. People are like, well, do I need to fog the house? Do I need to clean all the sheets? What do I need to do to the dog? Do flea baths work? Do flea medicines work? Does a collar work? We used to always get the collar, you know, that smelly, stinky collar, or you know, I use Bravecto. I think it's called Bravecto. I use it's a 3-month thing, so I don't have to worry about it. Every 3 months, I give it. It's worth every dime, just so I don't have to worry about it. But what is the best way to take care of fleas for your animal? And if you do have, I'd say anytime you see a flea, it's an infestation, right? I mean, one flea, it's an infestation. Because if it's got one, it's laying eggs, and that means you get an infestation. What is the best way to get rid of them based on your expertise?
Well, all the medications kind of have their place.
Yeah.
There's topical stuff for
do flea baths and stuff like that work? Or special shampoos?
So I'll tell you, there's really not a whole lot of reason to do shampoos and sprays anymore. They're probably the least effective thing that you can do. They don't last very long. So if you're going to do a spray or a bath, you're only going to get 24 hours, if that. You know,
and they'll come right back.
Yeah, then they're just going to come right back. So that's really antiquated. But there's... they're topicals that you can put on the skin, or they're collars, you can get them. And for dogs that don't want to take oral medication, then that's a good option. Mm-hmm. Also, there's some pre-existing conditions where you may not want to give your dog or cat an oral systemic parasiticide, anti-parasiticide. So like dogs that are predisposed to seizures, you may choose a topical over an oral. But for healthy dogs, doing oral preventatives is the easiest and probably best way to go. All the stuff for cats is still pretty much topical. But there are special considerations for topical stuff in dogs.
Okay. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, Sissy in Birmingham. She saw a dog with, I guess, what do they call the thing they put around their head so they don't bite themselves or lick themselves or whatever?
The actual term is an Elizabethan collar.
She wants to know, why would dogs wear that? And what case would you want to put that on your pet? And will they actually wear it? And the answer is yes, they will, because if they have to, then they can't get it off. But explain why they
to shame them and to make shame them embarrassed.
Suppose the scarlet, they put the Elizabethan collar.
They peed or pooped in the house, so they put a cone on them to like embarrass them.
Yeah.
We use those for just to keep them from usually licking or chewing a part of their body. So especially if they've had surgery, we don't want them to lick on that incision, because they'll open it up and create either an infection or make it so you have to close the incision again. So we'll put a cone on them. We'll also use them if for some reason they're rubbing their eyes or they're rubbing their ears or something like that. And we need to protect that part of their body from being rubbed. So we'll put a cone on them. And the length of the cone depends on what you're trying to prevent. If you're trying to prevent a dog from licking or chewing on something, mm-hmm. then the cone needs to go past their nose. Because their tongue's pretty long, so yep. It needs to go past their nose. If we're just trying to use it to protect their face, it really just kind of needs to go halfway down the snout, as long as you're not trying to keep them from rubbing the snout. Usually we're trying to keep them from, if a dog has a corneal abrasion, from either playing with another dog or running through the bushes and getting a scratch on the surface of their eye. We're using cones in a lot to protect that. Or if they have an ear hematoma, we're trying to keep them from shaking their head a lot. Then we'll put one on for that as well. And those tend to be shorter.
Stacy wants to know, can dogs and cats get concussions?
Oh man.
The first time I think we've had that question. That's a good question.
Yeah. So, I really don't know the answer to that. And the main reason I don't know the answer to that is because dogs typically don't, concussion symptoms in a human, if we're, trying to transpose that into an animal, it'd be very, very difficult to know that they have concussion symptoms.
Because we throw up, right? And so dogs throw up all the time.
Yeah,
so.
But also they could tell you, hey, I'm feeling nauseous, or I'm feeling dizzy. And I guess dogs can throw up, and dogs can get dizzy and things like that. But I think a lot of human concussions are based more on, verbal communication.
Yeah.
And also there's always somebody around to witness when someone gets hit in the head or, falls down and hits their head. And then a dog's case is not really like that. So I really can't tell you any time that dogs really don't take a whole lot of lumps to the head unless they get hit by a car.
Yeah.
They just don't, unless it's an accidental. The last time I saw a pet get hit in the head really bad was a cat. We may have talked about it on the air. It's been a while, but for some reason, the story was that the cat, someone was just swinging a golf club,
yeah,
and the cat got in front of the golf club. It wasn't a malicious thing.
Yeah.
So, who knows? But so that, that cat did have, some symptoms of a neurological issue, which that's what a concussion is. Concussion is basically a bruised brain. And so this cat, had neurological issues. So I guess you could, in a roundabout way, say that was a concussion. And we treat it symptomatically. A lot of times they'll have swelling on their brain. And so you'll give them medication called mannitol to help pull that swelling out. Yes and no, I guess.
You're watching Dark Side of the Pooch.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.